Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Our next guest was acquired in an AHL trade deadline deal on March 15th between the Syracuse Crunch and the San Jose Barracuda. He's in year number two of his professional career after going undrafted out of the Ontario Hockey League. We are pleased to welcome Barracuda forward Joe Carroll to the CUDA Confidential podcast. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Joe Carroll. Joe, first and foremost, thank you so much for the time. It's only been, a couple of weeks for you, maybe that, since you joined the Sharks organization in the Barracuda, but how has your transition been?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been good. It's still fresh and, still getting used to things, but, considering, it's quite a big change, kind of just on the opposite side of the country there from Syracuse. So, it's been good. The guys are good. Everyone's welcoming at the rink, which is nice. And, I'm looking forward to, spending more time here.
I think fans, they see the NHL trade deadline and they think it's over. No more transactions. But the AHL trade deadline is actually a little bit later. And since you were on an AHL deal, you were still eligible to get traded. Now, I'm sure you didn't expect it to happen. So when you find out that you're dealt, what kind of goes through the mind of a player?
Yeah, honestly, I had no idea about the AHL deadline either. So completely caught me off guard. It was a bit of a rush. Obviously I had a place in Syracuse, so kind of have to take care of that and move out. And it's pretty crazy. And then I just packed a light bag and met the team in Rockford. So it was pretty hectic. Nothing I've been through before, so that was new for me. And pretty crazy times for sure.
Yeah, I want to ask about that entire process, because when you're traded, it's only a matter of time before you're going to join your new team. So there's not a ton of time to kind of get your life together and figure out your housing situation and all that. So do you have to break the lease? Does somebody else cover it? Do you have to just kind of eat it for the rest of the year? How does all that work? And then you mentioned kind of packing up a small bag. Are you able to actually move out of the apartment, or will you just have to go back to Syracuse at the end of the year and pick up all your stuff?
Me and my girlfriend, we packed up as much as we could right when it happened. And then luckily she's only like a 3-hour drive from Syracuse. So she drove back yesterday actually and just kind of grabbed the rest of the things that were left behind. And so I won't have to go back, which is nice. I'll just go home after. And I think the rule is I still cover my own lease in Syracuse, even though I'm not there anymore. I think that's just how it's gone in the past. So, that's unfortunate, but just part of the business.
Well, I guess fortunately, you won't have to pay any rent in San Jose, because I'm assuming with a month to go in the season, you're just parked in the hotel.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just
that's a good, at least you've got that. Well, you're under contract through next year, kind of a rarity a little bit to be on a multi-year AHL contract. Does it give you some peace that you're going to be in San Jose next year? You don't have to worry about where your landing spot will be next season?
When I was talking with Syracuse about the deal, it was something that, I wanted to do. I wanted to get the second year involved in the contract just to have some sturdiness, it's not always nice going home in the summer and wondering where you're going to be. So, I think that was a big thing for me, is that I wanted to have the extra year, to kind of be able to relax a little bit more in the summer and know where I'm heading in September. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you haven't been in San Jose long, but you've had a couple of practices now in San Jose since the team got back from the road trip. And I was just at practice today, and the other day he was on the ice as well. But you've got a guy like Joe Thornton at your practice helping you out and working with guys. What's that like to have a player of his caliber being on the ice, being able to kind of instill some of his wisdom on you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty special, obviously. he's had a heck of a career. Just for me being Canadian and not only watching him in the NHL, but on the world stage for Team Canada, it's just it's a guy that I think every Canadian follows when they grow up. So definitely cool to have him out there and take some pointers from him for sure.
We're talking to Joe Carroll, Barracuda Ford. Let's go back to where it all started for you. You're from Carp, Ontario. I'm assuming that that's where you were born. Is that where you grew up as well?
No, I actually grew up about 15 minutes down the road in a little town called Almont, so not too far. So pretty much the same thing, just a little bit down the road.
So what was life like growing up in Alamont?
It was good. It was just kind of like small town vibe. It's a small town, so everybody knows everybody, and it's a tight-knit community. So yeah, it was awesome. And then life at home was good. Brother and sister and mom and dad and a dog. So yeah, pretty special childhood for sure.
Are you the oldest? Are you the youngest? Are you in between?
I'm in the middle. My brother's 2 years older than me, and my sister's 3 years younger. So yeah, it was awesome to have them growing up.
I'm assuming your older brother played hockey. Did your sister play too, I guess?
My brother did, yeah. My sister, she tried it. We got her to try it, but it didn't last very long. She ended up becoming a cheerleader, so she took a little bit of a different path.
Still within the athletic realm, I guess, though.
Yeah.
So this is how it always works, right? You have an older brother, older sibling, and you just kind of fall in line with what they're doing. You said your older brother played hockey. Was that how it started for you? Older brother playing, only natural for you to start playing?
Yeah, older brother and my dad built a rink in the backyard, so that kind of got us into it. And as soon as I got strong enough to get on the skates, I took full advantage of the backyard rink. And yeah, ever since then it's just been natural.
When a young Joe was on the ice, first falling in love with the sport on your backdoor rink or backyard rink, excuse me, who were you visualizing you were? Who was your favorite player growing up as a kid?
That's funny. I grew up obviously outside of Ottawa, so I was a huge Sens fan. Favorite player growing up was probably Jason Spezza.
That makes sense. Spezza played. Obviously finished his career right in Toronto. He started though in Ottawa, right?
That's right. Yeah, he played.
Okay, so that makes total sense, of course. He you're kind of an icon within that franchise. So big Sens fan. Did you go to a lot of games as a kid?
Went to a fair bit, yeah. My brother and I were always pretty busy too with our own hockey schedules. So, whenever we got the chance or whenever we got tickets as a gift, we would definitely enjoy a night at the Sens game for sure.
When did it come to a realization that you were pretty good at hockey? Obviously, you're a big guy at 6'3", almost 200 pounds. So physically, I'm sure you grew into your body and you started to separate from your peers. But when did it come clear to you that you were pretty good at this sport and you had a chance to play at the very least major junior hockey?
Yeah, I think honestly, at a young age, I knew I was pretty good. Always did well on each team that I played on, but I don't think it was until probably major bantam. I would have been about 14 or 15 that I kind of realized that major junior would be an option. And yeah, luckily I got fortunate enough to play 4 years in the Ontario League and enjoyed every second there. And then yeah, just made the jump last year to pro. So yeah, it's been a pretty crazy ride, and I'm grateful for everybody involved.
So I always like to ask guys, obviously you're a Canadian kid, you're close to the Ontario Hockey League. I'm sure that was a big dream from an early age to play in that league. But was there ever a thought in your mind that maybe you'd go the US college route as opposed to major junior?
Oh, I mean, little thought, but like you said, as a Canadian kid, I think everyone wants to play in the O, as soon as they can. And when I got the opportunity to play my first year at 16, I just kind of took full advantage of that, and I'm happy with my decision as well.
You played for the Sioux Greyhounds in the Ontario Hockey League. That's a very historic franchise that's been around for a long time. When you first joined that league, as a first-year player, you mentioned at 16, you had 18 points your first season in 53 games. And I know for any player coming in, it's tough because you've got 20-year-olds, you're almost grown men, you're still kind of developing into your body. What do you remember about that leap going from AAA hockey to the OHL? Was that a big kind of wow moment for you in your career on just the level and I guess talent of the players in the OHL?
Yeah, not only on the ice, but obviously off the ice was a huge adjustment as well, just moving away from home at a young age. And so yeah, it was kind of just all a big shock to me. And I was really lucky that year to play with a bunch of really good players. And obviously Drew Bannister was the coach that year. He's coaching St. Louis now, so obviously a really good coaching staff, and everyone kind of pitched in and helped out the young guys, which was nice. And we ended up having a really good team that year. I think we finished first, and then took Hamilton to game six in the finals, and came up short. But yeah, a really good year for sure.
When you were playing under Drew, did you think this was probably going to be a guy that was going to go beyond this league? Was it no surprise that he ultimately reached the NHL?
Definitely, yeah. He definitely knows his stuff, and knows how to coach. And he led us to first place that year. So I think you ask any guy on the team that year, they wouldn't be surprised that he is where he is now at all.
You hear about these modern NHL coaches, not very many of them are grinding guys maybe like they would in the past. It's just a different world, a different game. What kind of coach was he when you played under him?
He was kind of a mix of both. He would let guys kind of do their thing, but he wasn't afraid to rip into guys and keep guys on track. So I think it was good balance of both, which really worked for our group. We had a lot of skilled guys and a lot of grinders. So he did really well, and it worked for our group. So yeah, I'm sure he's doing his thing now, and it's working for him.
What do you think a player, maybe you can only rely on your own experience, but what is a player looking for in a coach? Is that what you want, kind of a blend of the two? Do you just want honesty? Do you want to know where you stand? What is a player looking for in a coach?
Yeah, I think everyone's different, but for me, I just like honesty, and I like to be told straight up, where I stand. And yeah, that's definitely been lucky to have a lot of coaches like that over the years. So yeah, I would say it's just kind of a combination of both, but honesty is definitely a big thing.
We're talking to Joe Carroll, Barracuda forward. Like many players in the OHL during the COVID season, didn't play much. And for a lot of guys, they didn't play at all. You did play three games in the American Hockey League that season. What was it like to basically not play during the COVID year? Did it help your development in a sense because you were able to kind of take in the pro game? Or did you feel like that was kind of a tough year in terms of trying to take another stride in your development?
I mean, probably wasn't the best thing, but I'm not the guy that's gonna, sit here and wish that something went another way. I think that was just all part of the road. And yeah, I'm happy that I got the opportunity to, play a couple games for Belleville, and kind of get a taste for what it's like. So I think it all worked out, and yeah, it's just kind of the way she goes.
Well, you're a guy who has made his way into the pro level, and you are on an American League deal. And we've seen it lots of times in the Sharks organization. Guys start on AHL deals and they pawn it into an ELC, an NHL contract. And I'm sure that's your goal, just like any other player. But you weren't drafted, and an undrafted player has to take maybe a longer road than others. So when you weren't drafted, did that phase you in terms of your hopes to play pro hockey? Did you always feel confident that with your size and ability that you could still play pro despite not being drafted?
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously a big day for a lot of kids, but yeah, again, it's just part of the road. I didn't really let it get to me. I went back to the Sioux the next year and believed in myself and had a pretty good year. And yeah, I think it's just you gotta take what you get, and I guess I just kind of stuck with it, and I've always believed in myself and I know what I'm capable of, so that kind of keeps me going. And yeah, it's something I still try to do today.
Who do you see in the NHL currently that you see maybe some similarities in your game?
One guy specific, maybe like an Alex Tuch or Anthony Mantha. There's a few guys. I don't try and model my game exactly after one guy, but I like to take pieces from different guys and different things. So yeah, those are maybe two guys, but I like to kind of be my own person and yeah, just kind of be myself.
Well, you're a big body, and those are two guys, big frames, can both move well. And with a bigger guy, there's always an adjustment, I think, in terms of skating, right? Smaller guys, it's more natural to be fleet of foot and be a quick skater. You have no problem motoring around the ice. So where do you think you've been able to develop your skating ability? Did you have skating coaches as a kid, or is that just more a natural thing for you that you've always been a pretty good skater?
Yeah, it's always just been something I've worked on personally. I've never had a skating coach or lesson or anything like that. I think it's just mostly just hours on the outdoor rink at home. I've never been the kid that's been at the rink all summer or, taking private lessons or anything like that. I think whether it's in the winter on the backyard rink or in the summer on the shooting deck. It's mostly been just a natural thing. I've loved the game and I've always loved working on it. So, yeah, it's mostly just been something I've done on my own.
Have you always been the biggest guy on the team, or were you maybe a late bloomer?
I've always kind of been the tallest. Obviously here and there, there's a couple other tall guys, but for the most part, I've been, I'd say above average sized, my whole career.
You mentioned just the off season working on your game. You've never had skills coaches per se. You've done it a lot on your own using your back, yard rink. But what does your off season schedule look like? How does an off season for Joe Carroll shake out? Are you getting on the ice early? Are you waiting? Are you getting in the gym right away? Are you maybe holding off to allow for the body to recover? What does your off season tend to look like?
I think kind of a good balance of both. I definitely take some time away from the rink. I think that's important just to kind of clear the mind a little bit and enjoy some time with family at home. But yeah, a couple of months leading up to the season, I definitely I'm on the ice quite frequently, four or five times a week, I'd say. And in the gym, just about every day. So but yeah, aside from that, I like we said talked about earlier, I play a lot of golf and spend a lot of time doing that, which is something I enjoy. And then yeah, obviously time with friends and family is important as well.
This wasn't the first time you had been traded at the pro level, it was, but you were traded in junior. You started your final season with the Sioux Greyhounds, and then you finished with Peterborough. You played one game with the Greyhounds and were traded. I'm sure when you're at that age, when you're an older player, you kind of understand where you're at, where the organization is at, and that being a potential thing that could transpire as you getting traded. But what was it like to get traded? And then kind of walk us through your final year of junior, spending almost the full season in Peterborough.
Yeah, obviously, was in the Sioux for 3 years, I believe, before that, and then the COVID year, so we weren't We weren't playing, but we were a team that year, doing Zoom calls and whatnot. So, obviously you got really tight with the guys there over the course of 4 years, and we knew that there was one too many overagers that year, and I kind of just took it upon myself to, kind of let the other three just continue to play there, and that they really wanted to, and they enjoyed it. So I didn't want to make it awkward, so I just kind of took it upon myself to say, I'll be the one that moves on and goes down a different road. And Peterborough was a lot closer to home that year, so mom and dad got to come to a lot more games, which was nice. And yeah, that's just kind of how it unfolded. And yeah, it's just another path of the road. So it was a good year.
Last year as a rookie, you spent 23 games in the East Coast League and 9 in the AHL on alone in Belleville. But while in the East Coast League, you played 23 games at 13 goals. I'm sure you played some big minutes. I'm sure they thrust you into all situations. How did that season really help kind of instill some confidence within yourself? And how did that help maybe make the turn into the pro level a little bit smoother, getting those opportunities with Orlando?
Well, at the start of the year, I really was struggling to figure out what I was going to do, and it was very last minute. I just kind of called Matt Karkner in Orlando and asked him if he would give me a shot, and he said he didn't have any contracts, but he would bring me down and let me try out, and so yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like first taste of pro, I kind of just went in. I had no idea what to expect, and I just wanted to kind of put my best foot forward and see what happened. And kind of just after the first skating camp, I kind of knew, I could be a good player at that level. And yeah, ever since then, I just kind of built confidence every day there. And when the season started, I was ready to go, and I think by Christmas, I got the call from Belleville and spent some time there, and then ended up getting injured and kind of missing the whole kind of second half of the year, which was unfortunate, but it was definitely a good first year for sure.
That's incredible that you actually made the initiative to call teams and try to get your foot in the door. Were you doing the calling, or was an agent doing it on your behalf?
That particular call with Karkner in Orlando was me, but I think my agent was helping as well. It was just kind of a, we were just looking for whatever we could find, and yeah, I think actually I called Karkner myself, which was kind of funny.
That's an incredible story. So you were really in limbo. What other options were maybe on the table? Were you thinking about going back to maybe Canadian college?
That was definitely on the table. There was yeah, obviously there was a really good option with the University of New Brunswick, which obviously they're a pretty amazing organization, playing in U Sports. So yeah, they were an option. It would have been nice to have back-to-back national championships now, but no, I'm happy with the decision I made, and it worked out, and yeah, I'm happy where I am now.
Yeah, the Reds just won another national championship. I don't think they may not let up a goal during the playoffs, and I don't think they lost this year. So that's quite the powerhouse in Canadian college hockey. I think you made the right decision though, and that is an incredible story of perseverance to not give up the hope of playing pro hockey, and then once you got your foot in the door, running with that opportunity, and now you're under contract through next year, and continuing to try to get a foothold on a opportunity at the pro level. I want to ask, we mentioned Joe Thornton and the type of development coaches on the ice. The NHL team is down the hall in San Jose. It's a unique situation where you've got the AHL club and NHL club basically under the same practice facility. What have you made of that? Do you find that a pretty cool setup, knowing that a guy like Mike Greer, the GM of the Sharks, could take in your practice at any moment?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Definitely cool. Got a tour of their facilities last week, so that was kind of cool. And like you said, obviously a lot of pretty famous people walking around the rinks, which is cool. Yeah, I think I've kind of just tried to, put my head down and work no matter who's in the stands over the years. So I'm not gonna, get too caught up on who's watching, but definitely nice to have exposure and the support of the big boys for sure.
Well, you're a new guy in the locker room. What's your nickname in the room?
There's been a few random ones. Yeah, I don't think there's one that's really stuck yet. I think a couple of guys just call me JC, but yeah, we'll see where that goes.
All right, JC was the one that I had in my head. I haven't heard any nicknames thrown your way yet, so JC. All right, we'll go with that. That's the one I thought maybe the case. What was it like getting traded to a team that you had a familiar face already in the room? In fact, you had a few familiar faces. You played with a little bit with Scott Sabourin and Cole Castles last year in Belleville. You knew Artem Gurjev through Peterborough in your junior career, and of course, Jack Thompson was your teammate just a couple of weeks ago in Syracuse. What was it like going into a room that you knew some guys?
Definitely helps. I think it's never easy going into a brand new room with all new people. So, definitely having Tomer, just go through it, I think a week before, was very helpful. I think he went through everything, first, and then kind of let me know what was gonna go on. And, obviously good to see Cass and Sabby again. And, yeah, I haven't seen Guri in a while. So, good to see him. Unfortunately, he's hurt, but good guy to have around for sure.
Couple of rapid fire questions before we let you go. What's your favorite type of food?
Ooh, steak.
Okay, simple. Did you play any other sports as a kid growing up?
A little bit of golf, a little bit of softball, but mostly stuck to hockey.
Who is your favorite non-hockey athlete as a kid?
I'll go with probably either Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods.
What is your biggest guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Maybe a good pizza.
Are you more of a Netflix guy, or are you more of a I'm going to be watching cable, watching sports all day?
Sports for sure.
If you were not a hockey player, but you could be another athlete, we'll take golf out of it because that seems like your second favorite sport. What sport would you be wanting to play?
I go with baseball.
Who is your favorite baseball team? And this may be an easy answer given the fact there's one Canadian big league team, but who's your favorite baseball team?
It's definitely the Blue Jays.
Who is your favorite all-time Blue Jay?
Ooh, probably Jose Bautista.
It's a good choice. If you weren't a hockey player, what would you be doing for a living?
I'd like to say golfing, but probably not. I would probably be doing something along the lines of something to have to do with construction or farming, something like that.
All right, so more in the trades realm, using your hands. One more for you with the impending summer. I always like to ask guys, you're close to the ocean now, but you probably grew up closer to rivers and lakes. So what's your favorite of the three? Are you a river, a lake, or an ocean person?
Yeah, not too familiar with oceans, so I'll go with lakes. I
Okay.
spent some time by the lake in the summer with some buddies, so yeah, I'll go with that.
Well, knowing that you'll be in San Jose next year, you'll have some time to explore the surrounding areas. Lots of ocean, obviously, within San Jose. Pretty quick drive, 45 minutes or so. So I'm sure you'll get your fair share of ocean. But Joe Carroll, we appreciate the time, man. It's been great to meet you. I know it's probably been a whirlwind for you. So enjoy the rest of the season. It's been nice to get to know you here in this short bit of time. But we wish you the best of luck down the final stretch of the year.
Thanks a lot, Nick. I appreciate you having me on.
A big thank you to Barracuda 4 Joe Carroll for joining us on CUDA Confidential. For more original Barracuda audio content, go to sjbarracuda.com/confidential, or you can find us wherever you get your podcast. That'll do it for this edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger, saying thanks for listening, and so long until next time.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.